Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, big debate tomorrow night between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. We will have full coverage. Our coverage starts tomorrow night at 7:30 across the Civic Media Radio Network and also on the Civic Media app. It's going to be anchored by our news director, Terry Bell, and of course, our friend and colleague, the wonderful Todd Alba. Tomorrow night, starting at 7:30, important debate. Mm-hmm. We will have all the coverage for you from the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Very excited to have our next guest join us. He is with National Security Leaders for America. We have talked to a number of their members over the past few months. Steve Pfeiffer is a retired Foreign Service officer and the former ambassador to Ukraine. Good morning, sir. Thank you so very much for joining us, Steve. How are you this morning?
Oh, just fine. Good morning. I hope all is well with you.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit for people who are just joining us, Steve, and may not be familiar with National Security Leaders for America. Tell us just a little bit about that group and why you decided to become a part of it.
Well, it's a group that's looking at the national security implications of the November election. And I think there's a fairly clear difference between what a President Harris administration will represent in 2025 and a President Trump administration. So we're trying to explain some of those differences. I look at questions, for example, in my areas of expertise, arms control, European security, Russia, Ukraine, where I think there are some very clear differences with some really important implications for American security.
It's astonishing to me, Steve, because I grew up with Reagan. And when did we get so cozy with Vladimir Putin? What is this enormous switch, it seems, by some on the right that now we want to emulate Russia? Really?
Yeah, this has really been, again, it's one of the major surprises to me. I mean, for most of my lifetime, the Republican Party was the party that really advertised itself as the party of national security. And very skeptical towards Moscow. I think President Reagan epitomized that. Although, you know, not only I think he was skeptical of Russia, but when he found that he had somebody to work with in Mikhail Gorbachev, he was also able to do some deals. But what's really surprised me is the way that I guess I would describe the MAGA wing of the Republican Party now looks at Russia. Mr. Trump, I cannot find any case where he's ever really criticized Vladimir Putin. He seems to have this odd affinity for him. And that's really a change from the Republican Party that I used to know.
He seems to admire Vladimir Putin. Donald Trump admires Vladimir Putin, much like he admires Xi Jinping of China and even Kim Jong-un of North Korea, where Donald Trump has said, these guys say something and everybody stands to attention and they do what he says. That's what he wants. Mm-hmm. He wants that kind of authority.
Yeah, no, those are all very autocratic regimes. I mean, the people really have very little say in what happens in North Korea or in Russia or China. And that's really, I think, the opposite of what I would like to see in America. I mean, sure, we have differences here, but there's a democratic system that allows us to work out those differences. We have free elections. Elections in places like Russia really don't matter very much.
In the last election, didn't Vladimir Putin win like 110% of the vote or something completely absurd?
Not quite, but it was way up there. But the important thing, I mean, the Russians, the way they do the election is Vladimir Putin really faced no serious opponent.
He jails them.
Alexei Navalny, who would have been, I think, seen by many as the leader of the Russian opposition. Now, my guess is Putin actually is fairly popular with a large segment of the Russian population. Putin probably would have won the election, but Navalny never had a chance to run. And then Navalny's jailed. This, remember, is after the Russian government tried to poison him. You know, he went to Germany where the German hospital saved his life. He then chose to go back to Russia. He was promptly arrested. Went through several trials and then died in jail in a way that I think leads a lot of us to conclude that this was not an accident.
Well, he's just one of many who, I mean, with Navalny, he was poisoned. There was another one shot and a truck drives past. Someone's thrown out of a plane. Windows.
I mean, Russian oligarchs and windows don't have a very good relationship because they tend to fall out of them with some great frequency.
Yeah, especially if you have some taint of being opposed to the Russian administration.
Odd how that works.
That's not a system that I would hold up as, you know, a model of good government. And that's one of the things that surprises me about Mr. Trump's failure to criticize that system.
We have talked about this many times, the Russian aggression, the Russian war against Ukraine, which is what it is. Russia invaded Ukraine. They brought this war. Ukraine did not bring this war to Russia. He's not going to stop if we just pull out all of our support for Ukraine. Why do people seem to fall for this narrative that, well, if we just didn't fund Ukraine, then give Putin what he wants and everything's just going to be hunky-dory. Everything's all going to be fine, Steve.
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, we would be accepting the largest land grab in Europe since World War II ended. And you're right. I mean, Ukraine did not want this war. Ukraine is the victim of Russian aggression. But I worry that what would happen if Vladimir Putin were to win in Ukraine? He's then emboldened. And then does he become a bigger threat to Europe? Now, the question I would then ask, would he be tempted, for example, to go after a NATO state like one of the Baltic countries? Remember, when Putin talks about Ukraine, he talks about recovering historic Russian land. Mm-hmm. If you look at a map of the Russian Empire at the end of the 18th century, the Baltic states, much of Poland, Finland were all historic Russian lands. Now, if I say, would Putin attack a NATO country like Estonia, almost all experts now would say, no way, he would never do that. But 5 or 6 years ago, those same experts would have said, no way would Putin launch the kind of assault that he's launched on Ukraine in 2022. So I think we have to be very careful about underestimating Mr. Putin's ambitions, particularly were he to be emboldened by a win in Ukraine, because the United States, not having lost a single soldier in that fight, decided to cut off aid.
If you're just joining us, Steve Pfeiffer is our guest. He is with National Security Leaders for America. Steve is a retired Foreign Service officer and a former ambassador to Ukraine. And we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about Project 2025 and what that would do specifically to our civil service and what that would mean for us, just regular folks, Steve. And I think that's what people tend to miss when we're talking about Project 2025. You think, well, I don't work for the federal government, so what do I care? That's not going to affect me. You're wrong. You're wrong. This will affect all of us. And I have said from the beginning, I equate. So again, Donald Trump wants to fire 50,000 civil service workers. And a lot of these are secretaries and people who have worked across administrations, both Republican and Democratic administrations, for years and years and years. These people know what they're doing. They're familiar with the system. Donald Trump wants to replace all of these people, tens of thousands of people, and their number one qualification is that they're loyal to Donald Trump. So I equate this, Steve, to your least accomplished cousin, who probably had a sketchy series of jobs and maybe some arrests for assault and DWIs and a couple of those things. But he's a MAGA, and so he gets a big job in the Trump administration because he's MAGA first.
Yeah,
and that's not outside the realm of possibility.
Well, I think you have to go back and look at, I mean, the civil service, or the modern civil service, really was established with the Pendleton Act back in 1883. Prior to that, civil service appointments were really subject to a spoil system. So you had people with little expertise. There was no continuity, not a lot of experience, and a lot of corruption. And the whole idea of, I mean, I was Foreign Service, but, we're sort of a counterpart to civil service. The whole idea of having a nonpartisan professional Foreign Service, a professional nonpartisan civil service, is that the president, be he or she a Republican or Democrat, should have people who have knowledge, experience, they're familiar with the laws, and then they can carry out the policy. And one thing, I mean, this idea that there's this deep state out there opposing the president, one thing that I was spent 27 years in the Foreign Service. One thing that was drilled in us was our job was to support presidential policy. And that would sometimes mean that you had to carry out policy that you disagreed with. I carried out policies in Republican administrations and Democratic administrations with which I disagreed, but that's because I understood my job was to support the president and implement the policy. And in my case, I never found a situation where I was implementing a policy that conflicted with my moral code. In some cases that happened, and I had colleagues resign, and that was a perfectly honorable thing to do. But this idea that the foreign service, the civil service, they're there to implement the president's policy. And, you know, in both cases, foreign service and civil service, you get an annual review. If you're out there frustrating the president's policy, you're not going to get a good efficiency report. And that's what's going to control your chances of promotion. So you have a personal incentive to be working for the president.
And ultimately, too, and I understand that your responsibility is to enact the policies of the president, but the ultimate loyalty is to upholding our Constitution. Is that accurate?
Exactly. You take an oath to the Constitution. And again, yeah, you carry out the policy. Now, I think, and again, in my case, I never felt I was carrying out a policy that conflicted with my oath to the Constitution. But that would be a case where, again, somebody might resign. And we've had cases in the Foreign Service back in the early 1990s during the Clinton administration. Foreign Service officers resigned in protest at our policy in Bosnia. In 2003, Foreign Service officers resigned in protest of the policy of the Bush administration regarding to Iraq. So, but that's the thing. If you can't carry out the policy, you should leave. And I think if you have a situation where it does conflict with your constitutional oath, then you have an inspector general, and you have mechanisms within the government which you can report that.
Steve Pfeiffer is our guest with National Security Leaders for America. We're going to continue our conversation. Brendan, I see you on the line. We will take you when we get back. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is a retired Foreign Service officer and a former ambassador to Ukraine and also a member of National Security Leaders for America. Steve Pfeiffer is our guest, and we're talking about Project 2025 and its impact essentially on the civil service and what a nightmare essentially that would be. Steve, if you don't mind, we have Brendan from New Jersey. He's been waiting on the line. Good morning, Brendan. Thank you for your patience. Did you have a question?
Well, I just really more had a comment on Project 2025. It seems that the new standard answer for anything is we'll be returning it back to the states as though they're issuing some sort of freedom of choice. No, there's no freedom of choice in Project 2025. You're going to become a bleach white Christian, and that's all there is to it. Not to mention the financial, wreaking havoc they're going to do by trying to round up any light brown or brown people and ruin our economy just by jailing people and having ICE going crazy all over the country, and then finally putting the kibosh, which the Republicans have been trying to do on our public education system. I'm 65. When I think about what's happened to the public education system and how teachers have really just become babysitters, it's amazing. But, the whole thing is just a poop show. Let's put it that way.
Thank you for being FCC compliant. We appreciate that, Brendan. Really appreciate that. No, you're right. This will completely upend our society in many more ways than people, I think, appreciate. And don't think that this isn't going to affect your daily life, because it is. Mm-hmm. It is. And again, I go back to your least qualified cousin who all of a sudden now gets a top job at the IRS.
Yeah.
And least qualified cousin can barely add.
Yeah.
But he's going to do what Donald Trump wants him to do. And that is his qualification. And therefore, he will get that job.
Yeah.
And that's where a career officer, a nonpartisan professional would say, no, that's not appropriate. We cannot do that. And that's my concern, again, is by bringing more partisan figures in, do you also lose the ability of the government to speak truth to power? Sometimes you want to have somebody say to even the president, that's wrong. You can't do that, or you should not do that. And that's not easy to do if you're a career official. But if you're a political appointee, it's a lot less likely. And that actually results in the president getting perhaps some bad information and can lead to bad policy choices.
Who on earth only wants to be surrounded by yes people? You don't make informed decisions when you do that. You cannot possibly make a rational, well-reasoned decision without all of the information, including the bad parts.
Yeah.
Well, just Kate, we were speaking about Vladimir Putin earlier. Look at Vladimir Putin. He surrounds himself with an inner circle based on loyalty, not competence. And there's a lot of evidence to suggest that Mr. Putin thought in February of 2022 that when he invaded Ukraine, his army would be welcomed as liberators and the white fight would be over and done with within 2 or 3 weeks. That was 2.5 years ago.
Unbelievable.
And something, Steve, that you were talking about earlier, and you just brought up Vladimir Putin again, and I want to make this clear to people listening who might support Trump. This whole notion of allowing sycophants, yes men, and hangers-ons to be your top choices for advising is that someone like Vladimir Putin, too, is he can just change his mind to whether or not that you are part of the circle or part of the solution. If he thinks for one moment that you are no longer part of this great movement, you're gone. And that's what will happen in a Trump administration too, because they've changed their mind on people all the time. You're not good enough. You're not supported enough. You're a rhino, all these things happening. And so you may pledge your loyalty or your fealty to this man, but there come a time where he says, you're not loyal enough. Sorry. And I don't know what the punishment may or may not be at that point.
Stay away from windows.
Yeah, exactly.
And right now, our president already has the authority to make about 4,000 appointments in the government. So, for example, at the State Department, a political appointee would normally be the Secretary of State, the Deputy Secretary, probably 4 of the 5 Undersecretaries of State would be political appointees, as well as a number of Assistant Secretaries. So there already is a way where the president has his people in a position to really oversee the government. If you now do that to 50,000 people, I mean, I think it really is a recipe for incompetence, lack of continuity, in many cases where continuity is actually a good thing, and potentially corruption.
Well, let's put people into the IRS who aren't accountants. I mean, what could go wrong?
Yeah, or have somebody at the Food and Drug Agency, which, you know, decides on the safety of food and health products, rather than having, you know, somebody who's been there for 20 years who has a scientific background, who has the basis to make decisions, have them replaced by some person whose main qualification was they had a connection to the winning candidate.
It's terrifying.
Sure, that's
terrifying.
Yeah.
It is. It's just terrifying. Steve Pfeiffer, we only have a couple of minutes left with you. What do you hear when you talk to people, Steve? Are they like, well, you were never, you know, you're a liberal, socialist, communist, Marxist in a caravan, and I shouldn't listen to you because you're biased?
Well, no, I mean, I actually, over going back to 1972 and voting elections, I've actually voted for presidents who are Republicans. So, well, I'm more of a Democratic persuasion, but again, this is not the Republican Party that I used to know. But I look at the Project 2025, just on areas in my lane of expertise, and I'll take just one niche one, nuclear testing. 2025 is the United States should resume nuclear testing. We're in a situation now where the United States conducted as many nuclear tests as the rest of the world combined. We learned more than anybody else about nuclear testing and what the effects of nuclear explosions. we have built this thing called the Stockpile Stewardship Program, which no one else has the equivalent of, so we can maintain the reliability and the safety of our nuclear weapons without actually having to test. Why would we start testing now? And for example, let the Chinese begin testing. The Chinese conducted only a fraction of the number of nuclear tests that we conducted. Why would we want the Chinese to have the opportunity to catch up? And it's that time, I mean, it's not just the proposals for the Schedule F and 50,000 political partisans to come into the government, but it's just some really bad ideas in there that would be very bad for American national security. I mean, I look at the nuclear test ban or the comprehensive test ban treaty, which unfortunately has not yet entered into force, and say, that's the perfect treaty for the United States. It freezes an American advantage. But with no explanation, Project 2025 says, let's just start testing again.
Gee, it almost feels like they're not so concerned about America's welfare for some odd reason. Steve Pfeiffer has been our guest with National Security Leaders for America, a retired Foreign Service officer and a former ambassador to Ukraine. Thank you for your service, Steve. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us this morning about Project 2025. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
News is coming up next. Mark from the SAC, if you can wait through the news, we will take you when we come back. And then we're going to talk about random acts of kindness. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
He's taken everything this old earth can give, and he ain't put back nothing. Whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon hates that we continue to call Twitter.
Leon,
yeah. We were talking to Steve Pfeiffer from National Security Leaders for America before the news about Project 2025 and its impact on Americans, and it will affect all of us. Don't think that it won't, because it will. Mark from Prairie du Sac has been very patient. Thank you so much for waiting, Mark. Good morning. What'd you want to say?
Well, not a problem at all. And I, as somebody who worked an entire career as a civil servant for the Department of Natural Resources here in the state of Wisconsin, a reminder that should be given for the whole political appointment thing is, remember that James Garfield was shot down by a disappointed office seeker. And, you know, do we want to go back to that? Everything was a spoil system, and just corruption unbound is what we had under the spoil system. And having a professional civil service has done wonders for this country, where people are actually going to be loyal to the country rather than whatever administration is coming in, especially with a overblown turd like Donald Trump coming in, who potentially is our president.
Don't hold back, Mark.
Tell us how you really feel, buddy. No, don't, please. It's got to be FCC compliant.
Yeah, that's how I really feel. And remaining FCC compliant, as I always try to do.
And we appreciate that. But you're right, Mark, and that's why we talk about this so much and have been talking about this so much, because it is important for folks to realize the long-term insidious ramifications of a second Trump administration, and he can claim they don't know anything about it, or what he knows about it he doesn't like. It's a lie.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, it's a lie. And this will affect all of us massively, from destroying the Department of Education, sending it back to the states, which Trump said on Saturday when he was in Mosinee, he wants to bring education back to the states, and he's going to put Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson in charge of it. Oh, good.
I bet you Ron Johnson was like, wait, What'd he say? I don't want that.
Oh, he would agree with, are you kidding me? Ron Johnson would never dispute anything Donald Trump says.
Trying to take care of the vaccine injured. Don't you know that, Jen?
Oh, right, right. After the 150 athletes just dropping dead. Okay.
Mark does bring up an interesting point that I never thought about either, is that, you know, Project 2025 is a dumpster fire. But when you work in the world of people who are your biggest fans, the sycophants, the hangers-on, the yes men and yes women, if they are tossed to the side, some of them aren't the wellest people.
And, that's true.
And a response can be fierce. I mean, as Mark said, the gentleman who attempted that, what he did to President Garfield, this was someone looking for an office, looking for a job, and they didn't get it. And that's how they react. And I know it sounds very, very, you know, rabbit hole like, but his fans are rabid. They are diehards. They will not take no for an answer. And that is their guy. And can you imagine what will happen if your guy says to you, you're not good enough anymore? That can short circuit some wires.
That's an excellent point.
So yeah, well, now that's a whole new thing we're going to talk about now.
Chris Alfine listening in Oshkosh on WISS. Hi, Jane. I was listening to Right Wing Radio the other day out of Oshkosh. A listener asked what Project 2025 was and why the libs are all over it. The host response, which he restated three times, was that Project 2025 is just a list of appointee possibilities for Trump to consider after struggling to fill cabinet positions in his last administration. Seriously, this is just a list?
900 pages?
This is what conservatives are being told. Thank you, Chris. Chris is going to be joining us tomorrow.
11:06, she'll be on the show. It'll be great. Chris, if you're listening right now, I'll send you the information after the show. Yeah, I mean, that makes calls that we've gotten make a little more sense, that we're blowing things out of proportion, that we're overreacting.
No one I know knows about Project 2025.
Well, I guess what? That doesn't mean a good gosh darn thing at all. Doesn't mean, because you don't know, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And it does. It's 900 pages, mentions Trump's name 300 times. And this isn't just a big Google Doc of appointment
possibilities.
Hopefuls. Yeah, this is a thing, and it's going to rework our fundamental democracy. And if you vote for Trump, it's still going to do it to you.
Or someone you know.
Yeah.
Or a relative of yours. Or someone you love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's far-reaching. It will impact all of us in numerous ways.
Yes.
Don't think it won't.
No. It's
Don't think it won't. And I think Chris makes a really good point. Yeah, the Trump administration struggled initially because there were people in government, like civil service employees, who said to him, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. That was their problem with the process before. There were safeguards. There were guardrails. There were people with decades of experience saying, yeah, you can't. That's illegal. Here's why. They want to get rid of all those safeguards. Yes. They want to get rid of anyone who's going to say, here's why you can't do this. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, you bet you can do this. We'll find a way to do it.
You are the best. You are the greatest.
You are the greatest of all time.
The best example I heard someone use was during Trump's presidency, the whole Sharpie thing with the hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
When there was a little line made with a Sharpie that redirected the map that these individuals from the National Oceanic Association, NOAA, put together. These are highly trained experts.
Yes.
Deep in their field, give you information. And he just took a Sharpie and just, because it didn't fit with his narrative, he changed it. He got into a lot of trouble for it. And he tried to act like it didn't exist. In the second Trump administration, not only will you not question the Sharpie marker, you will say, you are the best at weather. You are the smartest.
Yes.
Of course you are correct.
Yes.
That's not hyperbole. That is not overselling it. That is the truth.
They want to privatize NOAA.
Yeah.
They want to privatize our National Weather Service. And they're going to say, this is the forecast we want.
Mm-hmm.
Make that happen.
Yeah.
Pretend the typhoon's not coming. Pretend the hurricane's not forming off the Gulf of Mexico.
it's not because of climate change. It's just a bad year.
It's just a blowy day.
Yeah, it's a blowy day. It's been warm in Vegas and Arizona for a few days now, you know, 100 degrees. That's just because.
Yeah, your least qualified cousin is now a forecaster for NOAA.
Yeah, so once again.
Yeah, look outside. It's not raining.
Thank you, Chris, for giving us that information. I highly doubt they're going to be listening to us. But
really,
I'd like for them to listen. Give us a call if you don't like us. I don't know, that's fine, but we're good folks. We'll bring snacks. But the point is this whole thing just blatantly lying that it's appointment possibilities.
Well, and we know that they've done that. I mean, they do have a whole list of loyalists.
Yes,
people who have already been vetted. Again, it's not about qualifications. It's not about expertise.
No,
it is about how much you will sacrifice everything you believe and everything you hold dear to the throne of Donald Trump.
And as a small side note, we talk about Project 2025 a lot, and we're going to keep talking about
it
because that's important. If you ever hear someone talking about Agenda 47, that's the bite-sized Cliff's Notes. I call it the Bill of Rights of Project 2025. It's the most easy-to-swallow policies. So those two things, in my opinion, are one and the same. So when you hear someone talking about Project 2025, think Agenda 47 and vice versa. These are things that are going to try to rewrite the way we do democracy in this country. And it's up to all of us to be aware of what's going on. And we're telling you this right now. We're just saying this is what we believe. This is what we know from the information we're given. You go and do your research that you want to do. We believe that this is dangerous.
Well, and that's why we bring on experts.
Yeah.
And we bring people who have worked in civil service.
Yes.
And former retired major generals.
Yes.
And former retired rear admirals. And people with more than 30 years in our military who know firsthand the importance of diplomacy, the importance of allies, the importance of sticking to our agreements and our promises with our allies.
And the important thing of speaking truth to power, because I don't know all of them, but a fair amount of these gentlemen that we've spoken to about this have said, I am a Republican, or I was a Republican.
All my life.
I vote. This is no longer the party I know anymore. They don't have a liberal stake in this. Their only goal is to see this country survive and thrive and get away from this toxic, toxic idea that is the MAGA right. And one of the things I wanted to ask him, because he was a former ambassador to Ukraine, is, and I've asked this of other people who've been on the show, is just the notion of Ukraine wants their country to be free and independent. That is what we talk about all the time in this country. We have celebrations. We launch fireworks. People wear Zuba pants for the American flag. And I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, we take it so seriously here. The fact that there are people out there who say, no, we got to let Vladimir Putin get his way or do his thing. You are fundamentally speaking against the vision of this country. And I'm not allowed to call you a traitor? That is ridiculous.
But I do believe very firmly, there are many good Republicans who are quiet and who are being quiet. And I think there are many Republicans, former Republicans, independents, who aren't going to be putting up yard signs for Harris walls.
Yeah.
They're not going to be knocking on doors.
Yeah.
But I firmly believe there are far more people who, when they go in to cast their ballot, are going to vote for democracy and the sustaining of American democracy. And they're not going to tell their spouse. They're not going to tell their husbands or wives or their relatives or their circle of friends. I saw a video over the weekend. Nice woman from down south, white lady. She had a message for all my southern white lady friends. You don't have to tell your husband how you're going to vote. He's not in there with you.
Yeah.
And she said, I don't like to lie, but sometimes little white lies, those can be justified.
And you know what I'd say to those husbands if those wives told them the truth? Deal with it. They get the they won that ability 104 years ago. So you don't like it, that's your problem.
Well, there's a whole other faction that would like to see that reverse too, Greg, because, you know, postmenopausal, childless, dogless, catless ladies have no reason for existing.
Well, yes, they do. To take care of.
To watch other people's
children. Yeah, to watch other people's children. Oh, I keep those forgetting. Grandmas, grandpas, uncles, and aunts.
I mean, do have a purpose.
They have a purpose, and that's babysitting. Oh,
thank you for reminding me.
No problem. Would you like this cat I brought in here?
No, thank you. All right. We were going to do this a little earlier, but we're going to wrap up with this. Random acts of kindness.
Yes, indeed.
If you have any that you would like to share.
Yes, please.
We would love to hear about a random act of kindness someone did for you, something that you did, your chance to shout yourself out a little bit.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
855-752-4842. I have a story to share from when my husband and I were away. It was a good thing. Restored some of my hope in humanity. There's good folks out there.
There are.
There are good folks.
There's so many good
folks. So many good folks. 855-752-4842. One more segment. And then the news, followed by Todd Alba. So stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board.
Heck yeah.
Coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin, or we can call him Leon.
That's a,
it's kind of a term of endearment now.
Leon Musk.
Leon Musk.
I would never listen to that band.
Speaking of
band, the band is back together.
The band is back together. I am so delighted to be back.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for taking care of everything and doing such a great job when I was gone.
You are the best.
Really
Thank you very much.
It. All right. We're going to talk about random acts of kindness.
Okay.
And this relates to something that happened to my husband and I while we were off.
Yeah.
And we were in London around Victoria Station, which is a very, very busy. All parts of London are very busy.
Yeah.
But it's a big hub for buses and trains and all kinds of things. So my husband has a spinal cord injury, and I have mentioned this a number of times. When we met, he was still using a cane, and his goal when we got engaged was not to use a cane by the time we got married.
Yeah.
And so we've been married. It'll be 24 years at the end of this month.
Dang!
And since that time, he has never used a cane.
There you go.
But he still has some balance issues.
Yeah.
Again, he has a spinal cord injury. This is not going to get better as he gets older. So he's a little, his balance is a little off, and he has a strange gait when he walks, and he walks slowly. But we're in London. It had been raining, and we go to cross the street, and he slipped and he fell in the middle of the road. Five people almost instantaneously came running up. Is he okay? Can I help you? What do you need me to do? Five people immediately. A guy in a car pulled out into the intersection to block oncoming traffic to get out to make sure that Paul could get to the curb. And Paul has his own way of dealing with this.
Yeah.
We joke about this. He's fallen. We've fallen all over the world together. but he has a very specific way of how he gets up.
Yeah.
But it was so heartwarming to me. that so many people reacted so quickly to help. And it's so easy to become jaded and disappointed and angry when we read the news and see terrible things in the news and terrible things happening. And then something like this happens. And it just made me feel better.
And I always think about those moments and I think to myself, you don't know who they vote for. You don't know who they like and don't like. It doesn't matter. In that moment, everyone came together for a common goal, and that was to care for one person.
For one person.
A stranger.
It was lovely.
It was beautiful. I love it.
It was just lovely.
I love it.
855-752-4842. Random acts of kindness. Angie from Monroe. Good morning, Angie. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. I just want to say that I actually started raising chickens for my grandson a few years back, and now I'm up to 60 chickens, and now I have endless eggs. And so I like to donate my eggs to the Verona Food Pantry.
That's lovely.
And it's now become an actual habit versus, just raising a few. They're so addicting, and I'm up to, I think I'm past 60 chickens.
Oh, now. Wow.
So, 60 as in 60?
Throw that out there and... Yeah, 6-0.
Wow. That is so awesome,
I've
Angie.
I've been doing it for 4 years.
Oh my God.
I just wanted to say that.
Oh, good for you. So, yeah. Well done. That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Angie.
Thank you for calling, Angie.
That's
I love
really
that stuff.
Sweet. That's awesome. Do you have a favorite chicken?
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, I do. Her name is Bomber. After Angry Birds, the Bomb Bird. She's a fat little feathery round thing, and I've had her actually the whole 4 years. She's one of my originals, and she's a great little mama hen.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Angie. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for listening. Jim from Brookfield, also very patient. Jim, what did you want to say?
Tap on our credit cards, which is now very common, you know, the tap. Well, Europe was way ahead of us on that. And years ago, my daughter and I had an overnight flight to Paris. And we landed early in the morning. We had to wait for my wife and another flight to come in. And all I wanted was a cup of coffee. So I go to a vending machine. Nobody's around. There's vending machines for coffee, you know, very good. They only took tap. I have 5 credit cards, no tap.
Oh, geez.
Out of the blue, the individual shows up and says, Monsieur, and he uses his card, taps it, coffee comes out. I take the cup, I turn to thank the gentleman, offer to pay, he's gone. And I walk back to where my daughter was sitting, and I said, did you see that guy who got me the cup of coffee? And she goes, what guy? So he was like a coffee angel who, a random act of kindness out of the blue, gave me a very, very much needed cup of coffee, and I was very, very appreciative.
It's just, and right, Jim, it stuck with you, and that stuff sticks with you because it is so easy for us to get caught up in that down the spiral of despair when we look at some of humanity's worst traits, and then something like that. How long ago did that happen, Jim?
Oh, it's before the tap was real common here in the States. That probably was 2010 or so, I believe, 2011.
But you never forgot it.
But it stuck with me. Yes, I never forgot it. Stuck with me, and it was like I say, a coffee angel. But often, whenever I see somebody stumbling at a vending machine without the change or whatever, I always make sure I go over, you know, to give an assist, give some change or whatnot, and repay it.
Little things, my friends. Thank you so much for sharing that, Jim. Really appreciate it.
And that's my thought, too, and my point is that those little things inspire you to do little things that inspire other people to do little things.
Yes.
You know, a lot of us can't afford to buy other people homes or pay off big bills or stuff like that, but what we can do is say, you know, put your hands in their pocket, and they're like, I don't have the money. It's like, I'll take care of it. I got you. It's never thousands of dollars. It's 10 bucks or whatever, and it inspires other people to help.
Compliment somebody.
Yeah.
Hold a door open for somebody.
Oh my gosh.
These little tiny little things really can make a difference. So I want to say thank you to all those people in London who came to our aid. It was wonderful. Really appreciate it. All right.
I'm getting emotional.
Don't miss Dominic Salvia, his debut show today from 4 to 6 p.m.
That's right.
Dom, right here on Civic Media. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is next, followed by Todd Alba. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you tomorrow.